So this week I would sit in my office and I would turn around and I would look out my window out here and try to imagine us gathered here as we are now. I tried to picture it. How deep and wide would 6 foot physical distancing take us? How loud would the wind and traffic be? How long would Sheldon's beard be by now? I looked out at this familiar row of spruce trees here and I thought of the aspens from Matt's sermon last week and the deep root system of the Holy Spirit that binds us as one, even when Zoom connections fail or when Facebook works in mysterious ways. The reality is, though, that sometimes we wish to be able to see those roots in action, to feel tangible connection and not only believe it to be true. I've never been so aware of the fact that we have the letters in our New Testament because people were missing each other. They were wishing they could just have a face-to-face conversation to be sure they were still on the same page because the available technology could feel a bit one-sided. As Matt said last week, the New Testament was birthed out of absence. And we have known absence in these past 6 months. Now, the Philippian church members themselves were together, though they did have to figure out how to be a church in a Roman colony town, which is what Paul seeks to address from a distance. In Acts 16, we get a glimpse of the early Philippian church out on the edges of the city, not in a building, just using the outdoor space that they've got available by the river, with being led by Lydia, an experienced businesswoman, but probably figuring out the church leadership thing as she went. The church might have looked quite different by the time Paul was writing his letter, possibly 10 years later. It's got to be hard for Paul to picture much beyond his memory of what church was when he was together with them. Paul at this time was imprisoned, possibly under house arrest, self-isolated and physically distanced to the max. Today's part of his letter is the part of self-isolation when Paul gets self-reflective. For some people, this pandemic has also created that kind of self-reflective space to consider what used to fill our schedules, how our priorities might change going forward, what relationships need more investment in order to help us survive the isolation. Others among us may find Paul's deep reflection stage to be an unfamiliar luxury. Who has time to navel gaze when job expectations have changed, or parenting rhythms are completely out of whack, or we worry about doing the right thing for aging loved ones, or we find ourselves in the fog of general anxiety about the times that we are in? What is spacious about all of that? Paul, though he apparently has plenty of time for letter writing, can speak to the experience of being hemmed in. He says he is hard-pressed between two thoughts. At this stage of his countercultural life, Paul seems to be increasingly aware of his own mortality. Life and death are the forces that press in on him and his thoughts. He shouldn't be misread as wishing to hurry his own death. Why would Paul write to his friends that living is Christ and dying is gain? Is it an expression of hope in trying times? Is it a coping strategy? Is it defiance in the face of empire, that even Rome's power to deal out prison and death is not the ultimate power? The ultimate power belongs only to Jesus Christ. Ikaputra Tupamahu, a New Testament professor in Oregon, considers Paul as he is hard-pressed between life and death. And he writes, "This condition of in-betweenness, of liminality, is the reality of life for subjugated people. They are alive, but the threat of death from the empire is imminent." Paul writes that the Philippians are experiencing the same suffering that he is. The empire looms over them in their Roman colony town as it does over him in prison. And in that shared in-between space, Paul holds up the desire to depart and the desire to remain. And he is convinced in choosing life for the sake of the community. As Paul chooses life in the flesh with the community, he is convinced by this, even in the face of suffering. And he turns then to his Philippian friends and says, "Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel." The language Paul uses for live your life is connected to the Philippians' life with their broader community. It means living out one's citizenship or one's manner of life as it faces upon and intersects with life in the city, in the words of Fred Craddock. Tupamahu's way of saying it is that to be a follower of Christ means to be political in a way that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. There's an example of this in the September prayers for Mennonite World Conference. This prayer comes this month from our siblings in faith. Zimbabwe is facing the COVID-19 pandemic health crisis, along with the rest of the world, but compounded with an unstable political situation, 90% unemployment, an underfunded health system, hyperinflation and food security crisis. Pray for Catholic leaders who have made a statement to the government to uphold the gospel tenets of human dignity and the common good. Pray that the people of Zimbabwe would treat each other with respect across political divisions as they advocate for justice for all. Praise God for the Christian brothers and sisters, including the Evangelical Fellowship of Zimbabwe, who are speaking with one voice during a critical time. Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel. We have been greatly absent from each other for a long time, but we do have the means to hear about one another, even faster than a letter mailed from Caesarea to Philippi. A week ago Friday, I even came to see many of you on my bike riding across the lower city to deliver blessing tags and stickers, which you can pick up if you missed that delivery. They're on the fence. You can take one on your way out. And as I biked, I also tried out the new skill of posting live videos in our private Facebook group. And I loved noticing people join me watching the video, join me live or making a comment or giving me a thumbs up. Although I was doing the biking, and I only saw 17 households, I think, I felt like we were striving side by side with one mind. And not only because Jen filled up my flat tire, and Sam drove me to the bike shop for repairs, and Joya offered to transport my bike, and Kieran offered to loan me one, and also because Alice and Jane told me about their bikes, and Joshua was waiting with his pogo stick, and Abby was ready to add her backpack tag to her collection, and Maggie and Emily both made me signs to cheer me on, and Solomon gave me chocolate granola, and Jim and Karen were waiting for me on their porch, and Bakmai texted to see how it was going, and Hope and Annalisa and Jake understood that my visit up to their house was going to have to wait for me to be in my car, and Nathan, Lydia, Graham, Joel, Bethany, Melanie, and Aaron welcomed me with excitement, even though it kind of took me all day to get there. And at the end of the day, Donna offered to buy tea for me and Joya, who, with Poppy, made sure that my limping bike and I made it all the way home. Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel. We are greatly absent from each other in these days. But whether seeing or only hearing about each other, choosing life for the sake of the community means to seek out and find the ways in which we are still standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel. We are still the body of Christ. Paul wrote, "It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in any way, but that by my speaking with all boldness, Christ will be exalted now as always in my body. And Christ will be exalted in this body, our bodies, wherever we are, however far apart our bodies are from one another." Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel. Amen.